À la fin de 2005,
in late 2005, I was asked to become a member of the national group on the participation of women. This is where I had an opportunity to work with 15 wonderful sisters over the time we spent in this working group. Paul has always shown his commitment to make sure that the issue moved ahead. He listened what our sisters had to say and made sure that they had a safe place to do so. Paul also was very generous with his time, and I know that in our meetings he talked about the fact that it was necessary to implement equality within our union, and I'm sure that he supported this conference here in Montreal. So I'd like to introduce you to our brother Paul Moist, our national president.
Mr. Yolanda McLean will introduce our keynote speaker, and I'll leave that to Yolanda. But I have to tell you, our sister union from the United Kingdom, Unison, Sister Gloria Mills is here. And in addition to being our keynote speaker, she advises me just before we came up here, she's also on a reconnaissance mission for the Gordon Brown Labor government. Sounded ominous to me, because how did we get onto that subject matter? Well, just like if you run into somebody on an elevator, we started talking about the weather. And I don't know if you watched the news last week in London, England, but they had their worst snowstorms in 18 years. And so I asked her about that, and she goes, oh, goodness, they shut down London for 2 weeks, and everything was shut down, surrounding area. And the government is debating, and now they have decided to send a task force to Canada to look at snow. So I want to confirm for Sister Gloria that we do have snow in Canada, and I can't think of a better person to do the advance work for that than a member of Unison, and I want you to join me in giving a warm, warm QP welcome to our Sister Gloria Mills, who will be more formally introduced in a minute. En français maintenant. Bonjour et
good evening and welcome to the first QP National Bargaining Women's Equality Conference. And welcome to the magnificent city of Montreal. This conference was organized following a major recommendation by our national working group on women's participation, a 2-year project which ran from 2005 to 2007. The idea was to consult our sisters, and we want to discuss openly of obstacles that women have to overcome within the QP. The working group proposed some a dozen recommendations, 8 of which were deemed a priority and were presented and adopted at our national convention of 2007, which was held in Toronto.
One of those 8 priorities was that our national union hold this conference. And the report adopted by 2,000 delegates said that the conference should focus on, among other things, 5 key priorities: raising women's wages and benefits, establishing and improving pensions for women, negotiating to improve home work and home balance, bargaining secure jobs, confronting the casualization and privatization of women's work, and bargaining protection from all forms of workplace violence. So we'll talk amongst one another, and many of us will listen and be instructed by your deliberations this week. Tomorrow I'll be late coming to the session because I've been invited for about the third time in the last week to go on an open line radio show tomorrow and talk about the economic crisis, the recession. Last week in Calgary, the question was, don't unions and union members have to give a little bit because of the recession? So I gladly accepted, even though I'll be a bit late getting here tomorrow, because I think we need to embrace every one of those opportunities to speak from the rooftops. And maybe we speak from this conference to our 3,400 employers on behalf of, as of December, 590,000 members of CUPE, and say, as the great Bob White said, union members in Canada don't need unions to march backwards. We didn't cause the crisis in capitalism. We're not giving back wages. We're not giving back benefits. We want better wages, better benefits, and more job security for all CUPE members. So our national convention set these priorities, and our staff and our women's committee, whom you met at the outset tonight, have worked very hard to put together the next 3 days for you. One of the decisions we also made at our last national convention was to open up the National Convention Assistance Fund to today a National Convention and Events Assistance Fund. And we have 23 small locals from across Canada, delegates who otherwise never would have gotten here today. And I welcome them. And I also welcome what I'm told is a huge number of delegates who've not ever attended a national convention or a national conference. Who are those delegates for the first time that are here at a national CUPE event? Stand up for a minute. Let us say welcome. You're the future of this union. Welcome to the National Women's Bargaining Conference. I want to thank the co-chairs. I want to thank all of the staff that have been mentioned, and I want to, because I've been asked to, make a specific mention of a number of staff who've really worked day in and day out on this conference in the last number of weeks and months. Sister Margot Young, Sister Jackie Bramwell, Equality Reps, Sister Sue Lott from Research, our clerical support, Sisters Danielle Wright and Debbie Ribeiro from Equality, and Sister Maureen Morrison, who we got raided by Jack Layton. I got to tell you this story. Jack Layton phoned me in October and said he wanted to borrow Ann McGrath for a few weeks. I said to Jack, very talented sister, Ann McGrath, our director of Equality, I said, Jack, how many weeks? You know, we got a lot of going on in CUPE and we love the NDP, but how many weeks? He said six. Well, that was 17 weeks ago, and I filed a grievance with Jack. He hasn't answered yet. But in addition to the staff that I've mentioned, Sister Maureen Morrison answered the bell and has moved to Ottawa from Manitoba, and I thank her and all the staff for the incredible work that's gone into this conference. Thank you, all of you. As the largest union in Canada, we have a history of bargaining accomplishments. From our inception in 1963, with about 70,000 members, to today, with just under 600,000 members from coast to coast to coast. That first year of our existence was mostly permanent employees, a merger of two unions. And of the 70,000 members, I'm told, 95%+ of them were permanent workers. Today, CUPE is much different. We're a lot bigger. 164,000 of our 580,000 members are part-time, casual, temporary, something other than permanent. The lion's share of those 164,000 are women. We know CUPE women members are very diverse. Women with disabilities, women of color, Aboriginal women, lesbian and transgender women, and young women. It's important to recognize in the days ahead at this conference the different experiences of our union, of our women members in our union and in our workplaces. Bargaining, which is what we're going to talk about, sometimes involves strikes and lockouts. Today in Canada, in our union, we have three groups that are out on strike. three relatively small groups, all female-dominated, all making very low wages, for the most part under our target of $15 an hour. These three groups are, we have five members locked out in Grand Forks, British Columbia, library workers, members of Local 2254, locked out on January 21st. We have six members of Aramark Food Services at an educational institution in Fredericton, commenced strike action on February the 4th, members of Local 3372, the rate for most of those six members, $9.70 an hour in Fredericton. And this morning, I talked to the president and the staff rep on the picket line in my home province of Manitoba in Brandon. 57 members of Local 2096 employed at the Brandon Clinic, making poverty-type wages with vastly inferior benefits to other healthcare workers. 68 QP members on the line as we sit here tonight, most of them women, most of them working for very, very poor pay and in some cases non-existent benefits. And it's cold in some of these communities. I've spoken to all three picket lines in the last week. And maybe tomorrow morning during our conference, we could make them a little warmer. I'd ask the delegates to find a toonie, just a toonie. Some of us can give much more than a toonie. But if we pass the hat and if we can find Brother Claude, where is Claude? He's hiding. Claude, you can't hide. Now, if we pass the hat, I think Claude's got to step up to the plate. Double that. Let's send a few hundred dollars to QP Sisters on the front line. Okay, Claude? But thank you for that. We'll do that tomorrow during our conference. We've planned this conference in an attempt to integrate the different experiences and perspectives of our members, of our women members. Equity and diversity issues are woven throughout the workshop materials, the panel presentations, and in our discussions. As I say, we're a very large and diverse union, geographically and by sector, with just over 3,400 collective agreements and 2,300 local unions. We have more bargaining power. We know this when we sit at one table, large numbers of us, like healthcare workers do in most provinces. We know that our lowest paid members within QP are in female-dominated workplaces, workers in childcare, social services, group homes, community living services, and home care. We know that the targets we set in 2007 for a $15 an hour minimum wage and for pensions for all members are targets for all QP members, but they're particular targets for women, because most of the QP members without pensions and without $15 an hour are sisters. We also know that all of the answers to these bargaining challenges can't just be found at bargaining tables. How legislation sets our tables, how we must press for pay equity, employment equity, and expanded rights to free collective bargaining, and to have workplaces free from gender and all other forms of discrimination. Politicians set the table that we negotiate within in many instances. So QP's voice can never be confined to just bargaining tables. It must be a public voice. And in the last number of weeks, watching our Parliament reconvene, perhaps this conference says to the Government of Canada, we reject federal wage controls, which Harper announced in his budget. We condemn the decision to block federal pay equity complaints from going to the Human Rights Commission at the federal level. And we say to Mr. Harper and all parliamentarians, for the third consecutive year, to adopt a budget that does nothing to build childcare capacity in family is an attack on families. It's an attack on women workers. We in QP want universal childcare accessible for all Canadian families, and we want it now. Let me close, sisters and brothers, because our voice can't just be at bargaining tables or speaking to our national government. Our voice is also an international one. It's a perspective our sister will bring to us in a few moments. Because we join other international voices like Stephen Lewis, who has spoken so often at CUPE gatherings, former UN Special Envoy for HIV/AIDS in South Africa, who said in his Massey Lecture Series book, "The other aspect of multiculturalism is the absence of any single powerful agency within the United Nations system to represent women. Women constitute more than half of the world's population, yet within the extensive labyrinth of UN organizations, they are barely represented. In the days ahead in this historic conference, it's your voices we want to hear. The conference will provide space for sisters to meet alone and for brothers to meet. And Lord knows CUPE needs more brothers embracing feminist principles on behalf of two-thirds of CUPE members who are the sisters of our great union. So as Canada's largest union, we accept responsibility to put women's economic and equality issues on the front burner, both within our union and in the broader societal debates nationally and internationally that we have a responsibility to speak loudly on. Let's have a great, great conference. Thank you for coming to the beautiful city of Montreal.